throughout the world, throngs of people hailed the end of the war in Europe. It is 5 years and more since Hitler marched into Poland, years full of suffering and death and sacrifice. Now the war against Germany is won.
A moment in history that will never be forgotten. A victory that came not a moment too soon. Across Europe and the Soviet Union, the price for freedom turned the earth red. With the blood of 27 million Soviet soldiers and civilians. On the other side of the world, more than 500,000 soldiers from Africa met the same fate, sacrificing their lives to fight the spread of Nazism.
They were captured by the Germans by Field Marshal Rommel in December 1941.
He was deployed in Libya. And in fact, was one of those who were captured by the forces of Mussolini.
Well, I tell you, a lot of them never came back. The poor young boys, 18 years old.
It would have been unimaginable. It would have been a catastrophe for people in Africa to imagine that the Nazis could have won the war, because it would have extended systemic racism around the world. And it would have buried the hopes of African people for having an equal opportunity, an equal chance on this planet.
Hello and welcome to this week's Africa Now show, where we look at who, how, and where veterans fought with the Soviets during the Great Patriotic War. This week, we come to you from West Park Cemetery in Johannesburg, where 630 soldiers from South Africa, Britain, East Africa, Zimbabwe, India, Greece, Poland, and the former Yugoslavia are buried behind me. The North African campaign spanned 3 years, from June 1940 to May 1943, and included campaigns fought in the Libyan and Egyptian deserts, and in Morocco, Algeria, and Tunisia. It reached its climax at El Alamein in Egypt, when British Commonwealth forces, under the command of Lieutenant General Bernard Montgomery, inflicted a decisive defeat on General Erwin Rommel's Africa Corps and forced its remnants into Tunisia. This prevented the Nazis from advancing into Africa. For the soldiers who survived, many would suffer from a lifetime of nightmares. This freshly dug grave is the most recent veteran to be buried in Johannesburg. Veterans shared their wartime experiences with their children and grandchildren.
Willie, thank you so much for your time. Maybe if you can just start by telling us, what were you doing during the Second World War?
Well, during the Second World War, I wanted to become a pilot. But unfortunately, I had a problem with this one eye, and I failed the test. And I had to do something that I was in the army, so I just started there, and we went out to Vereeniging. I was on a Royal Air Force base, and we trained pilots, pupil pilots. Well, I tell you, a lot of them never came back. The poor young boys, 18 years old, we trained these to train them to become pilots. Some of them never survived. A lot came back, but it was very upsetting. It wasn't an easy task at all.
And just how important was the contribution of African fighters, both black and white, to the defeat of the Nazism during the Second World War?
You know, one thing, when you were in the army, there was no such thing as black and white. You were in the army, you were soldiers together, and we had one aim to destroy Nazism.
And maybe tell us, was there any cooperation or coordination between the Soviet armies and the African armies?
Well, we were fighting the same war. They were fighting it from their country and we were fighting it from Africa.
And just how important was it that both sides fought during that time? Let's say, for example, if the Soviet won and Africa hadn't won, would the war still be over?
It's very difficult to answer a question like that. The Soviets went into Germany, got into Germany, and we met there, and that was it.
And do you think that the Soviets working together with the African armies contributed to the end of the Second World War?
Of course we did. We fought the war and we ended the war. And we won the peace.
And just lastly, Willie, what do you think Victory Day means for you? And what do you feel about what the Soviets did during that time?
Oh, Victory Day means a lot to me for the simple reason what the Nazis did to everybody. I mean, they killed so many people, they destroyed them, put them in concentration camps, killed them. And I was happy that the thing was over and we destroyed them.
African soldiers also fought in the East African campaign through the Western Desert and up the length of Italy. But many were taken prisoner of war, as was Kenneth Phillips' father.
He joined the army and he joined a unit called the THA, which was a Transvaal Horse Artillery. That was formed in 1904. In 1939, he saw what was happening in Europe. And in 1941, he was in the battle of in the Western Desert with the British Army and with the British Third Army, and they were captured at Tobruk. But before Tobruk, there were two main battles, the Battle of Sidi Rezegh and then the Battle of Tobruk. They were captured by the Germans by Field Marshal Rommel in December 1941. And then they were taken to Germany to prisoner of war camps. The prisoner of war camp, which was called Stalag 8C Sagan. Now, Stalag is a word for prisoner of war camps for non-commissioned officers. So that is non-commissioned officers and privates. The officers went to a different prisoner of war camp. In the prisoner of war camps, they didn't have a holiday, but they weren't that badly treated compared to concentration camps, which were all over Germany. You know, you'd get some people who come back from prisoner of war camps, they wouldn't talk about it. My father loved to talk about it, and he liked to help people because he saw what happened to him, and he had respect for everybody. Thousands died, millions died, and in his unit, a lot of people died. He just wanted everyone to be respected, honored, and remembered. When he came back to South Africa, he joined an organization called the MOTHS, M-O-T-H, Memorable Order of Tin Hats. And that was for any veteran who was in any war. I think all war veterans have not been honored and remembered correctly. Just as an example, I saw the movie Born on the 4th of July. Of all the American veterans coming back from Vietnam, they weren't looked after. They never had the medical, they never had food, they never had housing. And these are the people that saved the country. Thousands were sent to a foreign country, the same as our people. In the 1930s and 40s, when the South African Army was fighting with the British overseas, in the border wars, in Kontinsizwe, all these guys, I personally feel, haven't got the recognition that they deserve.
A fact often ignored is the contribution of black African soldiers to the Second World War. More than 1 million served in colonial armies, enlisted by Britain, France, and Belgium. Some served in Africa or Europe. Others fought on the battlegrounds in the Middle East or as far afield as India, Myanmar, and the Pacific Islands. Many were wounded or killed. Their services have been rarely acknowledged by the governments of the former colonizers. In South Africa, the well-known Sexwale family was among them.
We are currently at the Heroes Acre in Avalon Cemetery in Soweto, Johannesburg. Next to me is the cemetery, or rather the gravesite of Frank Sexwale, one of the fighters and the heroes of South Africa, in fact, of the globe, because Dr. Frank did fight during the World War II and is one of those heroes that we continue to remember. And today we decided to take this day and visit his family to get a sense of those memories and those beautiful times that they spent together. Frank Sexwale was an admired soldier who fought against many in World War II and continued his fight for freedom in his contribution to the successful defeat of the apartheid government. His family remembers him as the ultimate hero and fighter.
A returned soldier of the Second World War was part of the Native corps that was built by the South African army then. They did not allow Africans to be soldiers per se. So they recruited Africans to be stretcher bearers, drivers, medicos, petty jobs like that. And Sekgwale had enrolled in 1940 and therefore fought in this particular case.
My father was a wonderful man, very strict. He liked order. Everything that he does had to be precise. You don't make mistakes with him. And he was this man who would say, I don't have a failure in this family. You pick up your boots and you go ahead and do what is right. I don't think wherever he is, he's resting in peace because of what he sees happening at this moment. When he fought for this country, when he allowed his children to leave this country to go and fight for their liberation.
Frank Sekgwale, I knew about him in 1975 when he had sent his daughter and a daughter-in-law to come and look for their son who was studying at the University of Swaziland. And I was a commander already there of MK, and his son, Tokyo Sekgwale, was one of those that I used to come inside and outside the country to recruit for MK. He was deployed in Libya, and in fact was one of those who were captured by the forces of Mussolini. So after the Second World War, Sekgwale came back and he was one of those who were not recognized as pure soldiers and were given a bicycle if he had been working, a coat, a plate, a teaspoon. But the Johannesburg Council itself built houses here in Dube. That's why this part of Dube in Soweto is called Dube Masoleng, where the soldiers were living. And he kept his comrades together. I'm told they used to march up and down the streets whenever Victory Day came every year. And that I think, influenced the young people in this area to join MK when it was possible to do so.
We don't talk enough about what they did, right? Like, for instance, I think Mama alluded to it, or Uncle Keith, the First World War, that ship, the SS Mendi, that sank. And I don't know how many lives we lost there. We need to commemorate that every single year. We don't need a public holiday or anything, but it should be something that's published. We should find the families of these soldiers and interview them, at least a few families every now and then, just to show that we appreciate the struggle, you know? And it wasn't even our struggle necessarily, but just to say, hey, this was your sacrifice and we appreciate it. And we appreciate the fact that you will never get to meet your grandparents or your great-grandparents, but this is how we remember them.
I think you would want to be remembered by how democratic governments or South Africa itself, because here we're talking about people who were recruited in the neighboring British protectorates as well. You remember Bechuanaland, Basutoland, people were recruited and they never really got benefits. So Sekgwale, to his dying time, was saying, let those benefits be equal to what the white soldiers were having. They were given pieces of land and they were linked up with canals, water canals, to help them start agricultural ventures. They were linked up with agricultural colleges. They were linked up with banks that assisted them to build up cooperatives and businesses. He was saying, why is it that the government of South Africa, with this big expanse of land, isn't giving these military veterans pieces of land? We're not talking about anybody owning 3,000 hectares, 2,000 hectares. We're talking about 18, 20 hectares, just so that they can have a livelihood. In that case, you remove this whole problem of how are you taking my children to school? How are you taking my children to health? Because you are creating a sustainable livelihood for the veterans, which unfortunately is not happening.
Now, the forgetting of African soldiers in the public history of World War II was not an accident. In fact, it was an outcome actively sought by the British government. Joining us now to unpack that in greater detail is expert and lawyer, Professor Andre Thomas Hauser. Thank you so much for your time, Professor. Now, maybe if we can just start by telling us what the contribution of African regiments was in World War II.
Well, in total, about 1 million African soldiers fought in World War II on the side of the Allied forces against the Axis forces, which were commandeered by Germany then. In South Africa, it was in July 1940, because of the lack of volunteers, of white volunteers for Jan Smuts' war effort alongside the British. It was in 1940 that a non-European African soldiers initiative started. And it recruited, at the end of the day, about 80,000 soldiers that fought in East Africa, in North Africa, and in some smaller episodes in Europe. Of those, most regrettably, about 2,500 lost their lives.
And why do you think African regiments got involved in this war to begin with?
Well, let us remember that in 1940, there were no independent countries in Africa. The entire continent was subdivided into colonial territories, and African people didn't have a say. They didn't have a choice. They didn't have a political representation. And they were mostly recruited to make up for a lack of white volunteers. They were not really welcomed. There was a lot of racialistic prejudice against them. They were mostly used in menial roles to aid with transport, to assist in repairing motor vehicles, to be carriers, to be cleaners, to be cooks. So segregation and basically racism obviously continued throughout the time of World War II. It left a legacy, a very sad legacy, that the African soldiers that came back were far less honored than the white soldiers. White soldiers in South Africa normally got generous rewards and compensation, like a government-sponsored house. Black soldiers normally got a bicycle.
And many black African soldiers fought bravely in the war, but many remain unaware still about their suffering. Why do you think that is the case?
Well, a few hundred medals were awarded to African soldiers, and those soldiers showed great bravery. What I think is most important for us when we think of this episode in history is that the participation of these 80,000 Black Africans, Black South Africans, contributed greatly to their conscience, to their realization that racism had no foundation, had no basis in science, that the white soldiers next to them were suffering just as much as they were dying just as miserably with just as much pain, and that the pain of a white person is exactly the same as the pain of a black person. And it really resulted after the war in the 50s to a new black consciousness, to people saying, well, we are equal, and we fought equally to defend values like democracy, values like individual freedoms, human rights, alongside white soldiers, and now we've come back, and why should these freedoms, these liberties, these very precious principles not apply to us? So yes, the participation of Black South African soldiers in World War II contributed to the ensuing liberation war from the 1950s in South Africa, and that is really an unintended but the most important consequence of this contribution.
And how much is the victory of Soviet Union against the Nazi Germany celebrated in Africa, and how important is it to Africa?
Well, for especially intellectuals in Africa, but most people with an interest in history and what is happening around them, it became very quickly clear that German Nazi ideology was just a systemic exaltation of basic racism, because the Nazi ideology is grounded on the supremacist theory that a certain ethnic group or descendants of a certain ethnic makeup would be superior and would have a natural right to govern and enslave others. The most horrible and extreme form of this was the declaration at the beginning of the invasion of the Soviet Union by the German army, the declaration by Adolf Hitler in a decree that the Geneva Conventions on humanitarian warfare should not apply to Russian people because they could not be considered fully human. This extreme form of racism, of course, in Africa contributed very, very greatly to the sense of injustice and to the need to overcome colonialism and to overcome enslavement.
The war reached many parts of Africa, including former Italian colony Somalia. Today, residents there appreciate the historical victory of the Soviet Union and the importance of remembering it.
During the World War, Russia lost more of its citizens. Meanwhile, Russia and its early countries managed to defeat German forces. So, the Russians should celebrate their victory.
It makes complete sense for the government of Russia to celebrate this historic day, especially because it won against Germany during World War II.
It is unfortunate that the World War II happened, as it engulfed the lives of millions of people. It is great honor for Russians to be happy and to celebrate their victory over Germany.
Zimbabwe is set to build a monument honoring Russia's victory in the World War II at the African Museum, currently being constructed right here behind me in the capital, Harare.
And if it is documented on paper, then it will last as long as that paper is lasts. But if you can actually have something that is more than just paper, something around which people can actually stand and have a conversation, something that will have aspects of it, something that is three-dimensional, have aspects of it that people can look at, talk through, and narrate very important milestones in the development of our country, in the evolution of our history, then that actually gives it a sense of permanence that will allow it to be etched in our brains and marked in our psyche in such a way that we won't be able to forget. And the place of those who assisted us to be where we are will forever be remembered and will always be there for us to recognize.
Well, that brings us to the end of this week's show. We pay tribute to the men and women who sacrificed their lives on the battlefield and the millions of civilians who lost their loved ones. Next week, we explore the persecution of Christianity on the African continent and the efforts being taken by communities to save it. Until then, from me and the team here at Africa Now, goodbye.
I wish that Franklin D. Roosevelt had lived to see this day. General Eisenhower informs me that the forces of Germany have surrendered to the United Nations. The flags of freedom fly all over Europe.